Okay. We're going to talk about success. What does it mean, Jewish success? Okay. So, before we talk about what Jewish success, I want to understand, if we have an understanding, what in Western idea is success. How do we look at success in the Western world? In order to understand how we look at success in the Western world, what do you call, for example, everyone, right? What's considered a successful person? Has a nice car, a nice house, he's got a good job, he's making X amount of dollars, right? Something that he's not embarrassed to say to someone else, right? In fact, he'll even say a smaller figure if he's in a certain company, like the tax man. But other than that, right? That's what we call success. Now, what's that based on? We live in a world where we're called the consumer, correct? We consume things. A consumer means a person who eats. You consume an iPhone, you consume an iPad. This is a commercial, right? You consume all different types of objects. Okay, all right. You consume all different types of objects. However, the whole purpose of this market is to take the object that they want us to consume, to market it, to advertise it, to make it appealing, or to create something new which they want to make money on that they're going to make now more appealing to us, correct?
Yeah.
That's basically how the consumer market works, correct? You with me? Okay. A human being in this market also becomes a product. Let me explain. You say you want to become a lawyer. You want to get into law school, you want to become a lawyer, you want to work for a very prestigious, I think, bank or law firm or whatever it is, right? So what do? You and many hundreds like you, or thousands like you, I don't know the number, have gone to a prestigious school. You've got a certain degree, but there's lots of people like you. What do you have to do in order to get into this place, which is the place that you're going to be successful? You have to market yourself. You write a resume. You explain why you are the perfect one. Now, do you really believe in your resume that you're the perfect one for the job? Not necessarily, but you want the job, so you're going to market yourself in a way. Now, if you have, just as in a product, if you have a product, which is a very good product, but it's not marketed well, you're not going to sell it. But if you have a product, which is even an average product, but it's well marketed, you will sell it. So basically, a lot of your success will depend on your marketing. So it's important you went to a very good school. It's important you did well in your whatever. It's important. Of course, you have to be a level of cleverness, right? Now, the world, because of this marketing, because of this impression they have to give across, right? The world is looking for people, if you're a lawyer, to solve a law problem and make money. So they're interested in people who are quick thinkers, who can solve problems, and who have that information to solve the problems. They are not interested in people who are deep thinkers, necessarily, who are going to spend years of their life trying to solve or understand something. That's irrelevant to the world of marketing.
For business,
and that's, well, the world works on business, right? And lawyers is also a business. It's mainly that thing. It's all business orientated, more or less. It's money orientated. The Western world is about making money. Making money means now, not in 50 years' time. No one goes for 50 years long investment. If you think about an idea for 50 years, you come up with a good idea, right? That's why it's rare in universities. You know, like, you will get grants for some crazy, maybe astrophysics or theoretical physics thing, but it's not as much as a grant you will get for psychology, because psychology I can now use to convince you to buy a product. Yeah? You understand what I'm saying? So what's happening in the Western world is that a human being becomes a marketed product. He's not important for who he really is, for his reasoning and his thinking. He's marketed because of his quickness and his knowledge, his information. You with me? If that's the pshat in a human, in the Western world, then a person who's successful is not necessarily someone who has to spend time on reasoning and deep thinking. He has to be quick with information and to manipulate that information. And if you understand a little bit about how the world's going, that's basically what internet is. Internet is, right, like you do marketing, you do all these things, you have all the information in front of you, and you quickly have to work it out, and then if you buy the shares or don't buy the shares, it's all you have a deep understanding, right? You have a quick understanding of the information you're given, you make a decision quickly based on that. I mean, when I say quick, it doesn't have to be, it could be a month. That's not so quick for a deep idea, but that's quick for maybe marketing, whatever. You understand? You're with me what I'm trying to get at? In other words, the success of a person as being a great lawyer, a great economist, a business person, I don't know, a great doctor, is basically not necessarily based on his reasoning and his depth of character, but on his quickness of thinking and of processing information. And that's what a person has to market. So therefore, we're marketing ourselves, and that's what makes us successful. Now, since success depends not on who we really are, rather on how we market ourselves and how we appear, or the information and the manipulation of that information, so therefore, that causes a person to lose his self-concept. Because a human being is not an object. A human being is that depth that he has. If now that I'm to speak Jewish, I'll say the neshama, the soul that he has, and his ability to reason and understand the world. Not his ability to manipulate figures or information quickly. That doesn't define the humanity. So success in the Western world is very much external success. And that's why by nature of that success, it's also measured in externalities of figures, of cars, where you live, and things like that. You with me? Make sense? So obviously, Jewish success has nothing to do with that. Because that success is based on externality. Now I can explain a little bit more. If you'll understand a little bit more, you will understand why that form of success leads to a society which is external, and therefore removes man's self-concept. And removing man's self-concept, his internal self, because that's not what's appreciated to be successful in the world. And because of that, his stability, his self-concept and his self-look, the way he looks at himself, becomes very insecure. Because what he really is not that. You with me? And that insecurity brings man to loneliness. And that loneliness is what in the Western world they can't solve, because the only way you can solve loneliness by definition, now maybe I'm not explaining this enough, is by expressing your internal self, not expressing your external self. When man does not express his internal self, man, by definition, is lonely. Yeah, question. You understand? You understanding what I'm saying? Because that was a jump. What's, so I'm not. Yeah.
I'm kind of lost with the jump to loneliness.
Okay, I'll explain.
I would think maybe insecurity, or like everything's judged based on external factors, which makes you feel insecure and like in your own self.
Okay, so when you're insecure, when a person's insecure, what does he want? He wants appreciation
from those external figures.
Yeah, because that's the only place he knows. But he's always going to be dependent on other people giving him the external stroke.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
So that makes him lonely, because he's always looking for something he's not going to get enough of. He feels always incomplete, separate. Incomplete means you're separate, right? You're incomplete. Yes? Because he's not generating himself. He's looking for other people to stroke him. He's man's not giving himself the ability to generate who he really is. Who he really is his internal self. If we're looking to generate our external self, we'll always need other people to stroke us. If we're generating our internal self, we can generate ourselves. Now I'll explain. When man was created, the only thing in creation was a priori created, not good, was man. When man was created, lo tov hiyot adam levado. It's not good that man was created alone. I.e., loneliness is not good. That was man's existential crisis. Now I'm going to jump. Then, he's created an Eza Kenegdo, a helper against him. That's his wife. Wife in Judaism doesn't mean only the shidduch that you're going to get when you're in second year, right? Doesn't only mean that. It means, in Judaism, wife is a concept. Female is a concept. Female means, the girl says, when we say Eishes Chayil, we say it on three things. We say it on our souls. That's our wife. That means man, his relationship with himself. Man in relationship with the external world, with humanity, is his wife, his actual wife, the shidduch wife. And man in his relationship with his creator is the Torah. All those three things are called wives. Rabbeinu Yonah says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos in a little different way, but this means the same thing. We have Pirkei Avos, which is man and himself. Brachos, which is man and his creator. Yeah? And Nezikin, man and his fellow man. Those are three aspects of man that need completion. Loneliness comes if in any one of those areas, man is incomplete. So it means man needs an expression in those areas. He needs to find his internal self and be expressive in those three areas. Correct? Okay. But his internal self, not his external self, not his marketing of self. You with me? You understand what I'm saying, the difference? Okay. So now we have that. Now we can understand what Jewish success is. Jewish success, by definition, has to be success in man's internal self. Now I said, Eselo Eza Kenegdo. Freud, right, was right and wrong. Freud basically said that all man's, how you say, endeavors are for basic procreation. Let's say it nicely. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Okay, that's what he basically said. He was not wrong completely. If you look at man on a physical level, that's probably true. If you look at his nefesh behemis, his animal instinct, right? That's probably true. He wasn't wrong that man's life comes through procreation. The first mitzvah of the Torah, that's what we said, that's how man uncovers his loneliness, is through this procreation, through expressing his essence. That's what procreation means. In a giving way, to express that essence against difficulties, the kenegdo. You with me? So he wasn't wrong that procreation is what's driving man, but there's levels of procreation. Just as there's a physical level, there's an emotional level, there's an intellectual level, and there's a hierarchy of spiritual levels. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? Clear? No? Man has to complete himself on all levels which are aspects of himself. He has a physical level, he has an emotional level, he has an intellectual level, and he has hierarchy of spiritual levels. His soul, he has nefesh, he has ruach, he has...
Not hierarchy of needs.
Hierarchy of aspects of man that need expression. The more man has expression on the higher level of himself, the more that man is a successful human being. If his own expression is the very basic elements of himself, then that man is not such a successful human being in according to a Jewish way. Maybe in a non-Jewish way, he might have a fancy car, or Western way, a fantastic house, right? An attractive wife, but he goes with the car. You know, nowadays that goes, right? and the rest of it in a shelet in his office. He's a CEO of X company, right? Just calling CEO is sufficient. You don't have to say who the company is, right? He's a CEO of the distribution of waste matter in the world. That's called a dustbin collector, but you guys don't know that. So from England, it's called garbage can collectors. Okay, but so long as it's a CEO, it's fine, right? But it doesn't matter what it is. That's just a joke. We ever get it again. Okay? That's clear? That's clear what I'm talking about? Now, let's go a little bit further with this idea. You understand how where I'm coming from? You understand why it makes sense? It makes sense? Or it doesn't make sense?
The more you develop more of a spiritual sense.
Yeah. The more internally you express yourself, the more internally, right, you're creative in those internal aspects of self, the more you are a successful human being. Now, we know from Chazal, what's better to do? A mitzvah that you get honor for, that everyone knows about, or a mitzvah you get no honor for?
No honor.
No honor. So if that's the case, then we know that doing mitzvahs that I get less honor for, mitzvahs that no one knows about, right, are on a higher level. I'm talking about the same mitzvah, the same Kavana, the same, but you're just doing it when no one knows about it, and this one you're doing when everyone knows about it. Yeah? I'm going to get more schar. What does it mean, more schar? What does it mean, reward? There's a cherry that you're going to get there? You're going to get like a star you're going to put by your name? What does reward mean? What does reward mean? In the world to come, that's just another cherry. What does reward mean? Connection. That means, if reward means I'm going to be more connected with my Creator, therefore, when I do a mitzvah that no one knows about, I'm going to be more connected than if I do a mitzvah which is everyone knows about. That means there's something external about a mitzvah which everyone knows about. I'm getting appreciation or whatever I'm getting. That takes away. So somehow, it seems to be, the more I work on things that are not known to others, the higher level I'm working on. Because anything which is more internal is on a higher level. You understand? It makes sense? Everyone understands that?
You splitting?
Now I want to explain. No, I want to explain. Now, Rashi in Chumash says a very interesting thing all the time. Whenever Rashi says Yirat Shamayim in Chumash, fear of heaven, right? Rashi says, Dava hamosu lelibo shel adam. Something which is only known to the heart of that person. For example, a person says, I'm not giving you interest. The money here that I'm giving to you belongs to a non-Jew. That's why I give it interest. And it says, V'yareta melokecha, you should be fear of God. Only God knows if you're giving your money an interest or if you're giving the money of a non-Jew with interest. Only God knows if you're doing the Avera. That's called Yirat Shamayim. Things which only you and God know are your relationship, and you do what God says, that shows that you're Yirat Shamayim. Yirat Shamayim is in the place where nobody knows. Right. So now, two people can daven. Two people can pray. This person prays 5 minutes. This person prays 5 minutes. Is it the same prayer? It could be the same person today and in a year from now. The same person prays. No one knows what's going on in his mind. He's not shockling. He's not moving his hands. Everyone knows he's having kavana. He's davening regular. No one knows what's in his mind. No one knows he's praying to his Creator or he's thinking about the turkey he's going to be having on Thanksgiving, right? No one knows. Only him and his Creator. That's a place a person works on his internal self. You with me? Any mitzvah we do, we get up in the morning, anything we do, there's always something internal. That thing internal is called, Beloshon Chazal, Kavana. What does Kavana mean?
Intention.
Intention, that's the translation. What the word means. Kivun means directed, to aim, to be, have direction. Is your life directed? Do you have kivun? What's the kivun that we're supposed to have? Our direction is towards Hashem. Kavana means I'm having the right direction. That's something internal. No one knows your kavana. That's private to you. But that's where I know, where, not what I know, that's when you know how much you are really directed, how much you really have that connection of Yirat Shamayim. You with me? Therefore, Jewish success cannot be measured externally. Only you know if you're successful. Only you and your Creator. It's not something that can be measured in figures, in does he have a car like that? Does he have, even in terms of Judaism, does he have, is he a rabbi? Is he a super Jewish star? Right, whatever it is. That's not a measure of Jewish success. Because no one knows the simple guy who goes to work in the morning and he comes home and he prays three times a day. No one knows when he prays how he prays. Of course, you know, we do know there are big rabbis and everyone accepts them as big rabbis. And you can see from who they are that they are successful human beings. But they're successful because of a certain work they did. So, you know, this is always a question. You know, they ask for Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Right? Isn't there, how can there be 36 righteous people in the world who we don't know about, hidden tzaddikim? We know who the tzaddikim are. Those are the big rabbis. So Shlomo Zalman answered, you might know who those rabbis are, but you don't know their actions. They're hidden. There's certain things you can't hide, right? But there's lots of things that you'll find out afterwards. And you might not even find out after they've passed away what they really did in their lives. Because you don't know how they davened. You don't know what sort of conversation they had with Creator. You don't know when they shook a lulav what they were doing. You know certain things that show you that they were special people. I was Rosh Shlomo Zalman. He used to go once a day. And he used to learn with an almana, in a house of an almana, so that she wouldn't feel bad. Or other things, widower, right? But you understand what I'm saying? You understand the concept? So when we want to be successful Jewishly, does it matter if I am the best Gemara learner in the second year? Does it matter which year I'm going to? Does it matter that my Shemona Esrei takes 10 minutes or 5 minutes? It matters my intention when I'm doing those things. When I'm learning, I'm not saying you don't have to be good at what you do. You have to do the best in what you can do. But it makes no difference if you're the best guy or not the best guy. That does no difference to your Jewish success. It makes a difference. Are you bringing out all your creativity in these aspects? Are you doing the best that you can do? That's what makes you Jewish successful. And there's a Rambam. The Rambam says as follows. Harashus Netuna. The permission is given that everyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, like Moses. Or a Rasha, forget. You have free will. What do you mean you can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? You guys can be like Moshe Rabbeinu? You can go to Har Sinai 40 days, 40 nights. Right, you can do that? Come on, let's do it. I mean, you guys are dressed for the bit, some of you at least, right? Right? Well, I mean, I know it's Thanksgiving today, but you can be Moshe Rabbeinu. How can we be Moshe Rabbeinu? Lo kam bi Yisrael kamoshe. There was not a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. None of us can be Moshe Rabbeinu. So what's the Rambam talking about? You can be like Moshe Rabbeinu.
In terms of
the Rambam? So the Rambam means that you can be like Moshe Rabbeinu just as Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah? used all his potential to express himself in a complete way, so can you. And you have free will to be fully expressive of your internal self. That's what it means. And if you be in Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what your success is. Can you express all that you have internally? Can you express all the levels of who you are? Your physical, of course, we're going to have nice food. Right? But with that physical, are we going to put a little bit of our neshama there as well? Like, are we going to eat it only for the pure pleasure of eating? Or are we going to eat it because if I have the pleasure of eating, which I need, I have the need to eat, but that's going to give me more kach, more strength to learn, or I'm not going to feel so homesick that all my friends back home are having Thanksgiving and I'm not doing anything. Whatever it is, whatever our needs are, but that's going to give me strength to continue to do good things. So we put a little bit of internal things in there as well. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be the whole time we're eating the turkey. We're supposed to enjoy our turkey. We're not so mishugana Jews, right? We're not, you know, we're going to enjoy our turkey. We're going to enjoy our lives. But we have to put a little bit of essence into our life. We have to put a little bit of kavana, a little bit of intent, a little bit of direction. You with me? Like the Maseilas Yesharim says in the beginning, Yesod hachasidus v'sharish havoda tmima litamet etzel adam megamato, kol megamato asher hu, all his, like, his, I've forgotten the lashon, all his like direction that he's going. And that's the direction he should go. That's the kivun he should be going. You should work out, what am I? What's good about me? What do I want to achieve in this world? Internally. Not what job do I want to get. Not how much money do I want to make. Not where, which neighborhood I want to live in. That's important as well. That's important to know as well. The type of person you are, because what you're going to be. But what are you living for? I mean, we're all in yeshiva, we're all learning Gemara, we all got into this bit, right? Learn chumash, do this, wear the black suit. You know, the hat will come in a few years' time, right? We'll go to the neighborhood and we'll be the front bit. But we have to ask ourselves a question. Why? What? What are we doing this for? What are you doing it for? No? What are we doing it for?
Yourself.
Huh? This is now you're going to give the answer. What are we doing this for? We're all doing this for one very simple reason. To be close to our... Yeah? We want to be close to our Creator. That's what we're doing it for. What does that mean to be close to our Creator? If I want to close... Now, we don't understand this, but Shir HaShirim, right? Is the relationship of Klal Yisrael with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a love song. So, if it's a love song, if you want to be close to someone, if you're going to get married, Zerah Hashem Shiduchim, you want to be close to your wife. What does it mean to be close? What does it mean to be close to a wife? What does it mean to be close to someone? You have a friend. Forget a wife. A friend. Things in common. What else? You have things in common with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. How are you going to be close? To give. Okay, give. That's the process. But what does it mean to be close to someone?
Know what you do without having them to tell you.
It means to understand them. Understand, right, to understand them. That means to have das, to understand them, to have a kesher. Das means to have a kesher. It means vayada et chava ishto. Man knew his wife. So they say biblical knew, but they don't talk about biblical knew. It means that you have to understand the full essence of your Creator. That means when I am learning Torah, I'm learning not so I know to be proficient in reading a Gemara. I'm learning God's will, because when I understand God's will, I understand Him. Kudshe b'richu v'oraisa chadhu. It's one. I'm understanding Him. I'm having a relationship with Him. Learning Torah is not academia. Learning Torah is having a relationship with your Creator. I will be happy if I do the right things, but when I'm schwitzing over a Tosfos and I don't understand the Hebrew, it's not a lot of happiness. There's a lot of hard work. Eventually I will get the happiness if I do the right thing. But it's hard work produces that happiness. We're not working to be happy. We're not working to have a pleasurable life. That's the Western world. That's not the Jewish world. Jews never had a pleasurable life. Throughout generations, they suffered a lot, but they worked very hard. And in the midst of their sufferings, when the temple was broken, was destroyed, you had Mishnayos, Rebbe with the Teresh Baal Peh, was written down. In Bavel, when we were in exile, you had the Talmud Bavli. In the Crusades, in the Christian Crusades, you had the Baalei Tosfos bringing out a new ideas in Judaism. We always grew from the times of our pain. We grew. And that's how people grow. Pain is a catalyst to growth. Now, I'm not saying go after it, but I'm saying when you feel that pain, that's the reason you grow. And that's what we mean that a galus, how you say a galus?
Exile.
An exile brings on a redemption. Or if you, there's a Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer Yosha. Revolvi brings it. It talks about Yemei Ha'ava or Yemei Hasina. The days of you feel distant from the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the days of Sina, Kiviyochel, you feel distant from him, and the days of Ava, the days you feel close to him. It's like exile and galus. It's always going to go between those things. Why does that work? Because a person works hard at being a certain person. Then he reaches that plateau of being that certain person. He reached that plateau. He doesn't feel he was growing. When you guys first became Baal Teshuva and decided to go to yeshiva, did you feel you were growing more then or now?
Now.
Huh?
I think now.
More radical change back then.
Right. Did you feel happier when you were growing then than now? So all of a sudden now, okay, then that's where you are. Okay, I hear, all right. When you were growing, you know, you didn't know Shabbos, all of a sudden you count, first Shabbos you kept, first tefillin you put on, first tzitzis you put on, that was great. Now, every day you put on tefillin. Every day you have the tzitzis on. Every day you have shachris. It's not as much fun as it was the first time. Right? I remember the wedding day, the first time you met your wife. That was great. Second time, third time, fourth time. You know, like, you've been married for 20 years, odd, right? It's like, it should be.
First time was on the wedding day?
No, I'm not Hasidish. If you're Hasidish. No, I'm joking, yeah. But, you know what I mean. The first, there's always a first time, right? To something. So, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says, how do you create a wedding to be the first time? So Gemara says, Rabbi Meir says, that's why we have the laws of separation. So that every time you connect, it's like the first time. That doesn't make sense. Separation to make a first time? That's how it works. That's how the world works. The Yemei Hasina, Galus, brings on Geula. If you don't have darkness, you can't see light. So the way a person grows, the way a person rejuvenates, the way a person sees nuances is through he comes to a plateau, he feels different, he feels distance, he feels he's not growing, and now he's looking for growth, so he wants to go on the next jump. If you live on that plateau, you're not growing. The plateau is not supposed to be the place you stay on. You're not supposed to be happy in the sense, you're supposed to be content with where you are, but not happy to stay there. You want to move. That pain of your Yemei Hasina is supposed to bring on that rejuvenation of self. That's the connector. That's what you're working against. You're working to make the tefillin again the same. Now, you all put on tefillin. Tefillin's not the same. You should be upset that tefillin's not good. So what you should do, you should learn a little bit the laws of tefillin. Now you understand more of the reasonings behind tefillin, so you get a better idea of why you're putting on tefillin. You're learning better your davening. It's the same thing in a relationship. If you know your wife the first day, and the second day, and the third day, and the fourth day, and the 20th year, the same way you know her on the first day, that's a dead relationship. If you get to know her better and better and better, you're going to feel closer. It's going to be a higher level of relationship. You're right? So the same thing with your Creator. You understand him better. You understand your life better. You understand the mitzvahs you're doing better. If you now understand that, you'll understand why Torah, learning Torah, is such an important part of Judaism. You always have to be in a learning process. Because if you're in a learning process, you're in a newer, higher connecting process. If you leave yeshiva and that stops your learning, you stop your Judaism. You stop your growth. You stop your connection. You stop your relationship. You with me? That's why we don't say it's enough to just learn in yeshiva and bye-bye, you became a rabbi now. You might know more than some other rabbis, right? Like, you know, I'm not going to say that, but you understand what I'm talking about, right? But that doesn't mean you stop growing. I wouldn't call them rabbis. I'm not talking about real rabbis. I'm talking about people who call themselves rabbis who aren't real rabbis. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. You're not stopping to grow. That's why Talmud Torah, the Ramchal says, is the Hashpa HaGdola. Mikol HaShpaot, Mikol HaMitzvahs. Talmud Torah Keneged Kula. And that's what creates our relationship. So in order to be a successful Jew, there has to be a deepening of the awareness of how you connect. And there has to be a deepening of that relationship. A deepening of your understanding of your Creator. Without that, you're missing out. Your tefillin's not going to be better tomorrow. Your davening's not going to be better. You with me? You understand what I'm saying? There has to be a deepening of your understanding, a deepening of yourself. Now, it doesn't mean you have to learn Gemara. You can learn Chumash, you can learn Maharal, you can learn whatever you can learn Chassidus, whatever you like. But you have to be rejuvenating. You have to be understanding your Creator better so that now your actions are on a deeper level. Your kivun, right? Your looking is more directed, is deepened. You with me? Understand what I'm saying? You understand why that's important?
It comes through learning.
Right. It comes through understanding God's creation and God's and your relationship with your Creator and understanding His rots and understanding His will. However you do that, you do that in learning, you do that in Gemara, you do that in what? Of course it has to come through learning. If you don't learn, you're not going to... It has to be like an appreciation of what you're doing. So it can be you can learn from someone, like Hasidim. You have Hasidus that you appreciate that if you're working and helping another Yid, what that does in Shemayim, what a tremendous thing you're doing and how important you are. So, yeah. So person can be in different facets a deeper Jew because you can. He can want to help people on a deeper level. He can want to pray on a deeper level. He can want... But there's always learning involved. It's just different forms of learning. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be necessarily textual learning. But it has to be a deepening of his being. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Make sense? Okay. So any questions?